The mother
trying to do
Kanda
initiation.
Your father.
Class, April 19th.
This is your father. This is what he says. This is your relationship with him. Go over to him. So the Supreme Father of all living beings is Krishna. Ijoham Sarvabhutano. I am the seed-giving father of all living beings. And all about him, in all of his features, all of his incarnations, all of his energies, all of his glories, all the glorious activities of his devotees, they're all described in the Vedas. So the Vedas, at the time of second birth, becomes the mother. And the manifestation or representative of father is Guru, who becomes our father. And the father nourishes, maintains, protects. So the Guru is the father. In fact, for the disciple, the Guru is everything. Father, mother, friend, guide, all relationships are Guru. I don't have to look in any other direction for anything. I look in other directions for his service. I make friends with people either so that I can help them become Krishna conscious, or they can help me become Krishna conscious, or we can mutually help each other, or I work with people so that I can get money for my guru's service. So he's the pivot, the center of everything. You see all the paintings around. They're paintings of Radharani and Krishna. And he probably said something to you in there about how ultimately our relationship is with Srimati Radhika. And the process to attain that, to enter into that relationship, is feelings of separation through the medium of bhajan, chanting Hare Krishna and chanting the other songs in your songbook, and by following the principles of bhakti yoga, and by rendering service, while we're chanting and remembering the pastimes and thinking about the songs, we start developing a feeling of separation. And then that feeling of separation ultimately transforms into meeting, where we enter into the direct service of Radha and Krishna. But it all begins with Guru. Without feeling separation from Guru, without thinking he's my everything, I could never come to that status with Radha and Krishna. So today is the official day of initiating that relationship. Now, some of you also got Diksha initiation. So I'll mention a little bit about that too in regard to the relationship between Diksha and Harinam initiation. And this is also for those of you who have not received Diksha or Shiksha initiation, but are thinking about it for the future, readying yourself for it for the future. And that is, the Harinam is compared with rice. We want to eat rice. We get nourishment and good taste from the rice. But we can't eat raw rice. Can we? Hard raw rice? It's hardly digestible. So we need to cook the rice. And to cook the rice, we need a pot, and we need boiling water, and we need a stove. So the Diksha mantras are like that. They put in relationship, our relationship with Krishna, who is non-different from his holy name. So by chanting the holy name with Diksha, then we very quickly develop our relationship with Krishna in one of the rasas. And Gurudev tells us what that relationship is. The importance of relationship is that when you have a relationship with somebody, you're prepared to give up your life, give up your wealth, do anything for that person. And when we have the relationship with Krishna, he's prepared to do that with us. Krishna says in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in Vaikuntha, what to speak of the Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, he said, I'm prepared to lop off my right arm for my devotee. So Krishna gives his whole self. He can repay anybody. He can give his whole self to anybody except for the gopis. He can't pay them enough because their love and their service is so great that he doesn't have the capacity to repay them. He said, even if I have the life of Brahma, which is trillions and trillions of years, I can't repay you. But otherwise, he does give himself. It's just not as much as they give when they give their self. So this is the importance of relationship. So now you have a relationship with Guru as father, and ultimately, as I think most of you know the song Guru Vastakam, which we originally learned in the ISKCON temples. Shakshat Hari Tena Samasta Shastre Uktastatha Bhavyate Vasarpi Kintu Prabhu Japriya Ivatasya Pande Guru Si Charanarindam. The bona fide self-realized guru is Shakshat Hari Tva. That means he is a direct manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brajendra Nandan Shyamasundar, Krishna, who's the source of innumerable incarnations. Shakshad Hari Tva means that he has the qualities of God. There is two gods, or two aspects of God. One is called Vishaya Bhagavan, and the other one is Ashraya Bhagavan. One is the supreme served, the one who served, the object of love. And the other one is the supreme personality of servitor, Godhead, and that is Guru. So he looks like a human being, but he's not a human being. He's a manifestation of Krishna. He's a manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda is Balaram, and he's the brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu is Akhanda Guru Tattva. He's the original undivided principle of Guru. And all the gurus in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami down to Srila Gurudev is a manifestation of that Akhanda Guru Tattva. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, has written in the first chapter that Guru can be seen either as a manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu or as a direct associate, personal associate, intimate associate of Srimati Radharani. So intimate that when Radharani is chewing the prasadam that she got from Krishna, she takes it out of her own mouth and gives it to her maidservants. And what is that prasadam? You'll be learning gradually. Oh, by the way, I have a CD of Santi's shaking her head no. Not for right now, but if anybody comes over to Raghavir Prabhu's house, we have a CD where I'm giving a class on the glories of Mahaprasadam, how we can see it transcendentally, how we meditate while we're making the offering. Many of you got Diksha Mantras, some of you got Diksha Mantras, others of you already have the Diksha Mantras, which means you also got the offering mantra for proper offering of the Bhoga. So we talk about the different meditations while we're chanting our offering mantras. So Vasanti is very merciful, so those of you who are coming to Raghavir Prabhu's house and Radhapriya Didi's house for the fire sacrifice, you can get that from Vasanti at that time. So what was I saying about the prasadam?
Radharani was trained.
Right, so externally, at the time of initiation, Guru becomes our everything, our father, mother, friend, guide, protector. And internally, we get the seed of our relationship with him as the manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu plus, when you look at it from the tattva side, the side of the established philosophical truth, that he's a manifestation of Nityananda Balaram. And if you look at it from the Ras Vichar, tattva, Ras Vichar side, or the side of mellow relationships, then he's a associate, intimate associate of Srimati Radhika as her maidservant. So this is all beginning now in initiation. Initiation means to initiate. So our Srila Prabhupada was giving an initiation ceremony in New Vrindavan in 1968, and he said, this is not a formality. It means that by following Guru, one day, initiate means you're beginning this process of, by following Sri Guru, one day you'll be able to serve Radha and Krishna in their rasa dance. And he also said that in his song, Nitai Pada Kamalam, the lotus feet of Nityananda, because he is a manifestation of Nityananda. So he said, by Nityananda's mercy, which one can only get by Guru's mercy, everything starts from Guru, then one day we'll be able to enter into and serve in Radha and Krishna's rasa dance. So, initiate means to begin as a course. Especially he speaks about this in the course of Diksha. But it applies also in Harinam, because now we're getting the seed of the ability to be able to chant the holy name in a pure way. When we chant the holy name in a pure way, that is realizing what Gurudev told you Harinam initiates today, that Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different. All the powers that Krishna has, that is, in one second he can create millions of universes, then in the next second he can destroy millions of universes, and in the next second he can recreate them. All that power and all of his mercy and all of his love and all of his beauty is all invested in the holy name. So the time of initiation gives us the seed of being able to realize that. And when we realize that, then we go there. If you can turn back and see the Venu Geet painting. In fact, all the paintings, we enter into them as a maidservant of Radharani. So, for those of you who already have the Diksha mantras, but again, this also applies to the Harinam. There are five stages of chanting the mantra. The first stage is called Mantra Art Chintan, that is, meditating on the meaning of the mantra, which includes meditating on who is the Istadev or Devi of the mantra. Like in the Harinam mantra, the Istadev is Hare Krishna, that's Krishna. Ram is also Vrajendranandan. You all know that Ram doesn't refer to Ramchandra or Parsaram or Balaram. You all know that it refers to Radha Raman, the enjoyer of Radharani. And Ramchandra and Balaram and Parsaram are all within that Radha Raman. All their powers, all the beautiful pastimes of Ram, all the beautiful pastimes of Balaram, all the ferocious pastimes of Parsaram are all included within the holy name that you are now initiated into. You can chant the holy name without initiation, but the seed of Shuddhanam is not there. So without initiation, it's described in the Nectar of Devotion, that one is like a boat without a rudder. It doesn't really go in any particular direction to reach its destination. So initiation is of absolute importance. Therefore, it states in the Shastra, Gurum Evam Abhigachet. One must, if one wants to perfect his life, one must. Prabhupada said, it's not an option. Evam, it's a must. So the first stage is mantra archit and meditating on the meaning of the mantra, which includes who is the Istadev or Devi of the mantra. So Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then Hare means Radharani. Hare is the vocative of the word Hara. Hara means to take away. So Radharani is so powerful that even though Krishna breathes in and out innumerable universes, Radharani is so powerful that she steals the heart of Krishna and controls Krishna. I think Gurudev was saying the other night in Hindi that she says, stand up, he stands up. Sit down, sit down. He's totally under her control. So to become the maidservant of Srimati Radhika, which is the goal of initiation, then Krishna also becomes subservient to that maidservant, and sometimes even propitiates that maidservant, so that maidservant will help him in attaining the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika on any given day. So meditating, who is the Istadev or Devi of the mantra? It may be that Guru is the in the Guru mantra, or maybe that Mahaprabhu is the Istadev of the mantra in Gaura mantra. So who is the Istadev? What are his or her qualities? And gradually you'll get to know more and more. Just like you all know computer, you all know folders, and you all know documents. So like now you're getting information about a document, say. And then you put it into the folder. And then when you're chanting the mantra, you open up the folder. So you'll be hearing from Gurudev more and more, reading his books, reading Prabhupada's books, and then you can put, you know, that there, for bringing it up at the time of chanting. Also, it's important to note about the bhajans. Now you'll all be going into separate places. You may not have programs so close to each other or with each other as often. So Gurudev explained that by chanting the bhajans, then when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, our mind has changed, our desires have changed, because all the prayers in the songbook are prayers for get me out of lust, anger, and greed, give me all the ecstatic symptoms of pure chanting, let me engage in the services to Radha and Krishna. Oh, I'm so fallen, please pick me up. Oh, Gurudev, give me your qualities. When will I be like you? Make me yours. Give me the wealth of being able to chant the holy names. So as we sing the songs more and more, we get sanskars, or impressions in the heart. So that then when we're chanting our Hare Krishna mantra, those impressions are there, the memories are there, and then our desires for that pure situation comes when we're chanting, and then the holy name is very pleased to satisfy those desires. The holy name is just like a desire tree. If we're sitting under a desire tree, we have to watch out what we're thinking. Because there was one king who was under a desire tree in Vrindavan, and he didn't know it was a desire tree. So he thought, I'm really tired. So he just rested there and he said, I'm really hungry. And then there was a big plate of food. And then he took that and he thought, oh, I'm really sleepy now. So there was a beautiful bed all of a sudden. And then it was getting very dark out and he thought, oh my God, it's kind of getting scary. You know the scary sounds of a forest when there's nobody there? Oh my God, what if a tiger comes? All of a sudden there was a big roar. Roar, the tiger. And then he thought, oh my God, what if he eats me, eats me? And then he got eaten. So we have to be careful what we're thinking under a desire tree, and because the holy name is like a desire tree. And now we have the seed of that power. So, okay, who is the Istadev of the mantra? What are his qualities? And what's my relationship with him? So that all comes at the time of initiation, particularly second initiation. So the rest of us can be enthusiastic to ready ourselves for that. And then the second stage is called Nyas, which is what are the rules and regulations of chanting. For Harinam, there's no rules and regulations. Any time, any place, even in the bathroom, as long as you don't bring your beads in. Day or night, while you're eating, Prabhupada used to encourage us to chant even while we were chewing, just to always remember that. But for Gayatri Mantra, it's in the morning when it's light but the sun hasn't risen, at night when it's darkish but the sun has set but it's not dark yet, and then high noon. And I have to face a certain way. I think Gurudev explained all that to you, those who got Diksha. You have to face a certain way and sit a certain way. You have to bathe and have to watch man. But in Harinam, there's no such rules and regulations. The Harinam makes everything happen. Harinam brings us to all the stages. Harinam brings us to Diksha. It brings us to offering our Boga. It brings us to then chanting without offenses, all by following the instructions of Guru. And as we chant, the Harinam does everything. So then the third stage is Prapati, accepting the mantra as my only maintainer and protector. And therefore I don't need to think of anything else while I'm chanting, because the chanting does everything. In fact, if I think of anything else, if I'm looking for my hope for happiness somewhere else, then the holy name will go away. Okay. You know how sometimes we're sensitive? We get offended real easily and then we just leave the spot? Well, Harinam's that way and Bhakti Devi's that way. So the third stage is having so much faith in the name or in the Diksha mantras that I don't have to look anywhere else. I'm here chanting now. Don't think about anything else. Chant slowly, carefully, knowing that whatever I want, whatever I need, whatever I need to get rid of also, will all be accomplished by the chanting. And then the fourth stage is Sharanagati, which has six of its own features, which is accepting everything favorable for chanting, rejecting everything unfavorable, thinking of the Lord as the only maintainer, the Lord as the only protector, being very meek and humble so that he will take care of me, and accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. He's the only protector, he's the only maintainer, being meek and humble, and the most important is surrendering my whole heart. Right. So that's the fourth stage. And then the fifth stage is called Atmanivedanam, which is surrendering my soul so much that I end up in the pictures. Like, see the gopis? Do you know where they are? It looks like they're in the forest, doesn't it? But really, they're in their home. And they're singing their prayers of Gopi Geet. They became so absorbed in it, not thinking of anything else, so much desirous to be with Krishna and chanting his glories by singing the Gopi Geet, that they ended up in the song. And this picture is a picture of the song. So they ended up in the forest, in the place where they were singing. So the thing about initiation is that you get the seed of being able to chant your mantras, Harinam mantra and Gayatri mantra, in such a way that you can enter into and become part of the mantra. The mantra enters into you and you enter into the mantra. Just as Gurudev is present in every mantra. He's present in the Hare Krishna mantra because he's a participant in the pastimes, and he's present in the Gayatri mantra because each Gayatri mantra is also pastimes of Mahaprabhu or of Krishna or of Guru himself. So then offering of foodstuffs. For those of you who only have first initiation, not second initiation, you did not get the offering mantras. So, Gurudev explained, fortunately, in Germany a few years ago, that you can say the English version like, you know, you make your plate and you put the naivedya or bhoga on the plate, getting ready to put it on the altar, and you think that I have no qualification for offering this plate to Radha and Krishna because they're in Goloka Vrindavan, even though they're here. As Prabhupada used to say, the pictures are windows to the spiritual world, or that if I have the deities in my house, but still, the deities are not in the material world. They're in Goloka Vrindavan, even though they're appearing here. Or the pictures are not here, even though they're appearing here. They're windows to that place. So how can I offer my plate to them? But Gurudev, who's their associate, is highly qualified to offer the plate. So that I'm thinking that, oh Gurudev, please make the offering. I'm offering it. I'm doing the physical thing of offering it. And I'm asking them, please take it. And in fact, when Prabhupada installed the deities of Radha and Krishna in New Dwarka in Los Angeles in 1968, he said that you should say to Radha and Krishna, oh Radha Rani, oh Krishna, you're standing right there, but I have no qualification. Please take this offering, even though I have no qualification. I'm most fallen and rotten, but I brought this thing for you. Please accept it. But at the same time, we're thinking that because I'm not qualified, my Gurudev is qualified, and he will bring it to them. So I'm picturing him bringing it. That's the same similar meditation as those of you who received the offering mantras, the Sanskrit offering mantras. So you, those who didn't can say that in English. Then I'll ask if there's any questions about initiation. Confusions, doubts, questions?
Well, we're more often out of chat. Your name's Pranami.
Oh, that's a very good question. In the beginning, when Srila Prabhupada first came to the West, he gave us these mantras, Namo Vishnu Padaya, Namo Mahabharanyaya, Namo Brahmanya Devaya. So Gurudev explained that Prabhupada did that because even after we were initiated, we weren't really initiated, we were such wrecks, you know, consciousness-wise, behavior-wise, habit-wise. So the mantras that he gave us at that time are not really offering mantras, they're obeisances mantras. Then when he established the temple worship, the pujaris got the same offering mantras, or similar, very similar, to the offering mantras that Gurudev is giving at the Brahminical initiation. But somehow or other, it never seeped down into the general mass of devotees, so we never got it until we met Gurudev. So Gurudev explained that it's like if you take a plate of prasadam and you walk up to somebody and then bow down to them and offer your obeisances to them and then walk away with the plate because you've just offered them obeisances, you didn't offer them the prasadam. Every spiritual activity is accompanied by a mantra. For example, when we water tulsi, we sing Om Govinda Balabhim Devim Bhakti Chaitanya Karanim Snapayami Jigadatrim Krishna Bhakti Pradayanam Om Govinda Balabhim. O Tulsi, you are the beloved of Govinda. You are the life of Bhakti. And now I'm giving you water. Please benedict me with pure Bhakti. You have to go now. Okay.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Right, so every spiritual activity is accompanied by a mantra. So the offering also has a mantra, which you get at the Brahminical initiation, and which I just told you what a lot of the English is, so that those of you who just have first initiation today can say that. And my Gurudev is qualified, so Gurudev, please offer this to them. Yeah. This is a prayer for, or mantra, for watering, and that's on about page 37 or so on the in the Archana Deepika. There's prayers for picking tulsi. Everything has a mantra. Yeah.
Sorry, I just have one other question. Even before I was introduced to Krishna consciousness, you know, when you pray to God directly, and a lot of times I find myself, oh, Krishna, like, but I know that to get to Krishna, you have to go to Gurudev and everything, but is it okay? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, your heart just goes directly out to Krishna. Like, is that...
Well, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're told to.
Yeah.
But before chanting, we pray to Gurudev. Before chanting our mantras, we pray to Gurudev and the disciplic succession that please give me the transcendental consciousness when I'm chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. Because Gurudev said, Krishna's so busy with the cows and the coward boys. So, but Gurudev hears us no matter what disqualification we have. And then he recommends us to Krishna. So even when thinking of Krishna, we think of Gurudev because we can't, Prabhupada, we can't, they have to be our, yeah, they have to pull us.
So as long as Gurudev has
sure. Well, he's given us the Hare Krishna mantra. And very important for all initiated devotees is, besides offering the foodstuffs and not eating any bhoga at any relative or friend's house, because then we get the contaminated vicious mentality of materialism when we eat unoffered foodstuffs. And also very important is if you can do Mangalarti in your house and bhajans regularly and reading regularly every day and praying, O Gurudev, O Prabhupada, O disciplic succession, and say the names. You're right here with me as I'm reading. Please give me the proper understanding to read so that I can come out of it as your pure servant and a pure servant of Radha and Krishna. Yes, ma'am?
I was just going to say, in addition to Hare Radha, so if people sometimes you hear the last minute of their life, they yell out to God, oh God, help me, you know. So are they connecting with Krishna? Is that prayer sincere enough? Because you hear it all the time. People are calling out, oh God, help me, and their last breath. So is there does Krishna hear their prayer?
Krishna always hears for a guru. When Ajamil was chanting Krishna, Lord Narayan sent the guru to speak with the Yamadutas, and then Ajamil was hearing the pure devotees, and he got purified from hearing their Harikata. And that made him, because he gave them a new life, they gave him a new life. And then he went to Hardwar and performed austerities. And then he was able to actually make the connection. But if somebody's sincere about reaching God, and he calls out, oh God, either at the time of death or at any time, Krishna makes some kind of arrangements that he'll be able to get a little more in the next life and a little more in the next life. Even the rat, you know the rat story? You all know the story of the rat? The rat was in the temple, and the Giwik was just about to go out, and the rat was thinking, oh, what a yummy-looking drink that is. So he stuck his nose in the ghee, burning ghee, and his nose got on fire. Of course, he died, but he acted like a candle. So he wasn't consciously doing devotional service, but it counted. So then in his next life, he got a good opportunity to take to devotional service. Any sincere, you know, thrust in that direction, Krishna sees that and he makes arrangements. Yeah. And then there's also the sinful activities that I do. So it all balances out. If you're at a relative's home, should you not eat their bhoga? It depends on what's in it.
Well, no, of course, if it was just vegetarian, right? But if there was a salad or something, could I take some and then offer it and eat that while I'm in your home? Or is that better just to not eat anything while I'm in your home?
Well, if you can avoid it, avoid it. If you can't avoid it, then what you can do is, because, you know, their hands might have been dirty, they might have been eating it while they were preparing it. But in a life or death circumstance where you can't avoid it, like, for example, if you're in a hospital, you can't avoid it. So then what you could do is uncook it, unprepare it, bring it back to its raw state, all in your mind, and redo the whole thing, and bring it to the state that it's in, and then offer it.
I just have a kind of a weird question. I feel a little bit confused sometimes because when we're at the ISKCON temple, sometimes the devotees go to the bottom. And
some of your day's devotees, you mean?
Yeah. And I feel like in my heart, like I want to respect that they've made this offering. But at the same time, when I see my senior god sister, like, you know, I don't want to name her, but when I see her withholding and leaving before prasadam, I feel like I should be following her. You know,
it's a touchy subject.
Gurudev
doesn't.
I don't know what is offensive or what's not.
Gurudev doesn't take it. I don't want
to. I know. I just
terminate like the room by talking all about it, but
I know. I just feel like torn inside a little bit. I don't really know what's right to do.
If it's really prasadam, then of course it's offensive not to take it. But if it's not really prasadam, then better not to take it.
Right. Okay. That's good. Yeah.
And again, in a life and death circumstance, if you know that it wasn't, if it was properly done, and if you have time, you can take it into a separate room, you can undo it, recook it, offer it properly, and then take it.
Okay.